Hey, this is Steve Bloom, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to the long-awaited Altered Geek. After taking December off, for the most part, we return, and I am Steve Megatron Phillips. Joining me is Mike the Birdman Dodd and Alex from This Week in Geek.
Oh my God! We're on a podcast! It's yes. Almost like we do this on a weekly, bi-weekly, and all-the-time basis. Hello!
It may have been probably been about a month and a half since we recorded a whole slew together, right? Like, so...
Thereabouts.
It's nice to get back into it because... Was I the only one sitting here twiddling my thumbs like, why am I not getting any emails? Oh, yeah, people are away.
Yeah. Oh, it's holiday time. And, well, we're back for the most part. I mean, to give you a peek behind the audio curtain that exists at Altered Geek, we're recording this just before New Year's. So belated New Year's, because it's likely 2020 right now, and we have 2020 vision. So, hopefully
where's
everyone.
Bourbon Walters?
Hopefully everyone had a good holiday.
How many more Blanchard puns can we get in here?
Depends on how much of nostalgia you want to touch on.
How many Funko Pops you got?
I wouldn't be surprised if he has like a like 2020 the TV show Funko.
He's gonna get a Barbara Walters Funko.
You know what? I would actually want one of those. That would be kind of cool.
As long as it could talk and say, you're watching 2020.
This is 2020. Or if I could get Funkos of Barbara Walters, Walter Cronkite, and Dan Rather, basically famous journalists, I'd kind of be okay with that, actually.
They don't have to be bobbleheads because by now they all have Parkinson's. So they're
that's terrible.
That's horrible.
You're going to hell, man.
Let's get that out. Oh, hey, I said that in the past. It's now 2020. It's okay.
he's been having his palate wiped clean.
Oh, God. So, yeah, hopefully everyone had a good holiday up here in Canada, at least with me and Blair and this Twig crew. Things were pretty good, quiet. As I talked about on Twig, we had my father-in-law pass away a couple of weeks ago. And thank you to everybody who reached out to me. Definitely meant a lot. In short, his service was attended by like 300 people. Nice. So this guy was huge in the community. So that was rather nice. Our Christmas was it was small, somber, but very, very sweet. Highlights included my sister-in-law, Kara, got me pictures of Wiley and Ayla as a duke and duchess from the 1800s.
That's awesome.
They look ridiculous. And I got Blair a life-size crocheted baby Yoda, which she cried. She was so happy.
I saw that thing, and... For something handmade and that quickly, it's insane the quality.
Oh, yeah. Like, the girl who makes it is, I know her. I used to know her as Toronto Wonder Woman. She was a cast member with me on MTV Creeps a couple years ago, and we've just stayed in touch ever since. She's given me a few handmade items over the years, but if I need something made, I go right to her, and her quality is second to none.
Nice.
And she got me a cup that says, don't be a cuntosaurus. So I love my wife and my coffee tastes that much more vulgar. So good times.
What about you, Alex? I have been sick, which I very rarely get. But I decided I'm going to visit my mom and my grandma for Christmas. Went over Christmas Eve and immediately was sick for what felt like forever. I basically slept from Christmas Eve until I guess the 27th, 28th maybe. and then finally feel like 100% now. And I'm like, where did my Christmas go? At some point I made a turkey for everybody, but I have vague recollections of doing that half asleep.
Did you slaughter it yourself?
I'm like, yeah. But overall, I mean, other than being sick, it was, again, pretty low-key. I got a you know, a ton of clothes from Santa, like a whole bunch of socks, which is what I wanted. And I'm like, I'm officially an old person. I want socks. And that's about it. The only other thing I've been doing is I'm putting together my own modified original Xbox, because I was thinking when the new Xbox comes out next year, I guess still, or at the end of the year, they said it's going to be backwards compatible with every generation. The only thing is, if you don't own those games physically, or you're probably going to have to own the licenses, right? And I went, well, I'm not going to be able to buy, you know, digitally every license. They're going to charge a ton of money, whereas you can actually get the original games fairly cheap on, you know, in disc format. Also, the homebrew community is pretty crazy still on the original Xbox. And I went, there's all these after Christmas sales. So I ended up getting a original Xbox for $36. That included cables and two controllers. And I'm in the process of modifying it, and I'm still waiting on the mod chip to come because, you know, mail is slow, but I'm teaching myself to do some basic soldering. I got a soldering kit for it, blah, 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 yada, yada. The only thing I've changed so far with it is I did open it up and clean out. There's a little rubber band in the DVD drive that, you know, makes open and close. And it was stuck. It wouldn't open. So I had to use a paperclip to open it. And apparently it's a very common thing where there's like dust that gets on and dirt that gets on the rubber. So you take it out, wash it with a little bit of soap, dry it off, put it in. Now it works perfect. And I replaced the IDE cable because, yes, that system's old enough that it still used IDE cables.
Wow.
But it used like really old IDE cables, even though newer ones have been available. So it was a 40 wire cable, which is slower. And I paid $10 to get a 80 wire cable, which is more standard with what we were used to in like the home building scene back in the day. So it basically doubles the bandwidth. So the load times aren't cut in half. Like when I put a disc in, it's surprisingly fast, even though it has a maximum data rate, I think, of 100 megs a second on those old IDE cables. But I also purchased a IDE to SATA adapter so that I'll be able to plug in a solid state drive once I modify it.
Nice. So
that's sort of, I'm like, I didn't get really anything geeky for Christmas myself, but I got a bunch of gift cards and stuff, and that's what I'm putting it into, is building myself an ultimate retro Xbox.
Yeah, now, like when you get emulation running on those things, you can do so much cool shit. I have a modified Xbox myself. I've got MAME on there. I've got PS1. You can get PS2 running on them, but it's a lot harder.
I actually want it fairly vanilla. I want it to be the ability to install stuff will be there, obviously, once I put a mod chip and I can put anything on there. But the reason I want to modify it with a mod chip is not just to teach myself soldering, because you can soft mod any of these. This is the newest 1.6 version, which is apparently the one that had the most the revisions were done to make it so that it wasn't really soft moddable, but you still can. I mean, it's been long enough, people have figured out how. But it's that you can, once you have a mod chip in, you can pop any hard drive in and not have to go through a whole bunch of steps of making it work. So I did purchase a 480 gig solid state drive. So it's hilarious that like the hard drive and all the little cables and everything end up costing as much, if not more, than the system, but I'll be able to basically have an entire digital library of every exclusive game on it and just futz around with that for fun whenever I want.
Nice. So just out of curiosity, isn't Windows 10 supposed to be able to play Xbox games?
Xbox One games, and only certain games. So okay. You have to have a Blu-ray drive, which I do have for my Windows 10 PC, but you have to own them physically, and it has to be Microsoft first party titles that are certified for play anywhere. So if you have a Halo game, sure, it'll work, but
or Gears 5 or something.
But if you pop in just a random title, no.
Okay.
So Xbox curious. Game Pass is wonderfully worth it if you have the need to play some of these games. Like I recommend stuff like The Outer Worlds or Gears or Halo. It's totally worth it.
I also have a GTX 1050, which is good enough for entry level 1080p gaming, but it's mostly there just for the video encoding capabilities of it. I don't have a card powerful enough to really run those games on max, and I have an Xbox One X, so I would have to go. Like, I have a really good PC when it comes to like the CPU and everything. It's the Ryzen 3 series, like the newest Zen 2 architecture, which is great. But my video card is like 5 years old. So like, it's not really worth me doing that on there. So otherwise, you know, yeah, I could see myself playing some games on there if I had the ability, but I'm also not the guy that's going to spend $500 upgrading my video card.
No.
Or more. I don't understand how people can put like $1,200 in the video cards.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my dad spends like about that, but he buys two so he can have them.
Oh yeah.
SLI. But like, honestly, I have one and it's a GeForce GTX 670 and it's got 2 gig of memory on it and it works fine with everything that's out now. And it's probably 6 years old.
It's probably more than that. It's probably that's a generation or two before mine.
So okay. Well, and
yours is about 7 years old.
Yeah. And honestly, it works with everything and I can plug in three monitors.
I think so. I think Mike's is the same generation as mine when I checked, but yours is actually one or two models higher. So you like
mine is?
Yes.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure yours is a 1060 or 1070.
Yeah.
Whereas
I'm going to upgrade this year at some point, but yeah, I don't know.
But I'm not sure. Yeah, we'll figure it out. But yeah, like I've been holding
off. I'm just going to throw money at it until the problem goes away.
I've been holding off because I've got that like the new AMD system and everything. I'm just waiting probably for like there's the 5500, the new AMD ones that are coming out. I'm waiting for something to come out at the, and not like in American dollars, but like something in the like $250 Canadian range, which will be like one step below that. Probably in the summertime, they'll come out with something that has the newer encoding capabilities of the newer codecs, and then is like a marginal upgrade to my gaming. Like I would like something like that, like just like keep me modern so that it can do anything. I don't expect it to do, like I'm not going to be doing 4K gaming on my PC unless it's through like Stadia or something, because I don't see the point. I'm a console gamer.
Hmm. Yeah, I that's one thing I don't want to upgrade anyways for now is the video card, because I just don't want to dump the money into it. And honestly, like I used to be a console gamer, but I'm not anymore. Like I pretty much do PC and that's about it.
Yeah. But and that's more so because for you, from your taste of games and like the fact that with your kids and everything, I could see you, if anything, eventually getting a Switch. And that would be plenty to do whatever kind of games you'd.
A Switch is a pretty good investment, I'd say.
Like, for the, like, I don't know, you know, if you necessarily want your kids playing, but if you were to have them play games, it is family friendly enough that you could lock them down on that and get the Switch is getting to the point now where it gets most ports anyway, and anything that it doesn't get is very PC centric anyway. So
actually, hey, wait a second, I just thought of something. Steve, remind me to talk to you about an Xbox when we get off this call, because I just had a thought for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna bring you into the next generation of console gaming.
Okay.
Because up yours, you're gonna join us and you're gonna like it.
Yes, because that's how we make friends. We force them.
That's right. Play us, damn it.
That's how I learned about Mass Effect.
See, it's worth it. It's gorgeous and so beautiful.
And actually, it was really good. So, but yeah. So I mean, like as far as the stuff's concerned, you know, it's that's kind of what I've geared towards. I've been an Xbox fan for years because I just prefer their architecture and their controller. And before that I kind of played Nintendo and some of the Sony stuff, but I've been more of a Xbox fan the last couple generations. So but yeah. Fair enough. So
but yeah, so how was Christmas in the Megatron house?
The Megatron house, yes. So I made one of the gifts for my wife, which was like a picture frame that we saw at a store that was like insanely overpriced for what it was. And nice, I
like, fuck that, I can do better. And yeah, she probably loves it even more.
She does, because I took time. And I had this block of wood that I brought with me from the old house, and I actually have a lot of wood that I brought with me. But this particular piece was about the right size as this frame that we saw in the store. And I, you know, smartly, when she picked it up and looked at it and was like, oh, that's really nice.
you know, it cost too much, and then put it down. And I was with the kids, and they were straggling behind, so I shot a picture of it, like filed it away mentally for later, and then come to close to Christmas, and I'm like, I need to make something. And then I found this block of wood that I had saved 4 months ago and spray painted, and had to do all the painstaking drilling into it and trying to make sure everything was working the way I needed it to resemble what was in the store. And so she thought that I wrote on it, but I bought the one from the store. So it kind of worked out for me. And then we used an old coffee table that we got at a yard sale for $5 and refinished it, repainted it red, and then glued 8 10x10 Lego boards to the top of it to make a Lego table for the kids.
Cool, dude. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, and so when you lift it up, because it's one of those ones where you lift up the table lid and then you've got the compartments inside. They've got compartments for the Lego kits already, but what I was thinking is the instruction manuals didn't have a place to go before, and so now they do. And they love it because they can build on top of the table now. And so that'll be a nice little fixture for when we move, and they get a ton of Lego stuff. And we have this Lego store that's close to here that I built custom Lego figures for them that kind of looked like them, and they thought that was the coolest thing in the world. And I got an air compressor, which was awesome, because the week before I got a flat tire in my minivan, and I was going to take my son up to the store, and I get in the minivan and I start getting out of the driveway, and I'm realizing that it's not sounding or driving right. And so I pull back in the driveway and realize that I had a completely flat tire, no air compressor, and the van doesn't come with a spare tire. So I had and the other vehicle was gone because my wife was gone with my older son out doing something school related. And so I got out the bike tire pump. And 15 minutes later, I had a fully inflated tire that I was able to take up to the tire shop. And luckily it was in the same plaza as the stores we needed to shop at anyway, and so I was able to get the tire patched. But yeah, that was just I'm so excited to have a air compressor.
And for all the nerdy needs, like, you'll never have to buy compressed air to clean any computer parts or electronics ever again.
No, I'm so excited about that, because I can turn that sucker on, bring it in the house, and then just air blow out the computer.
And think about all the balloons you can blow up for birthdays.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that. That's funny. Clean off the garage floor and other things like that. So, yeah, I was super excited about it, about getting that. And we got a board game. We got, what was it, Seven Wonders?
I've heard of that. Heard of it. Yeah, I've never actually played it, but I've heard of it.
Have you played Ticket to Ride?
Once, yeah.
Okay. I've got a lot of those type of games. Like, I've got Splendor, got Settlers of Catan, and a bunch of other games like that. So,
do you guys do like a board game night at home?
Oh yeah, all the time. So, I don't have many, but what we do have, it's what one of our hardcore board game friends got us into. So it's been nice. But okay, yeah, that's pretty much all that.
Sounds like a lot's gone on with all of us. So should we get into the meat of this?
Yes, we should get into the meat and potatoes of it.
So Star Wars sucked. All right, good night, guys.
Unless you're the Mandalorian.
Okay, well, let's talk Rise of Skywalker first. We'll go around the panel and each give our, you know, Reader's Digest version of what we thought about it, what we liked and what we didn't like. So I'll start with either of you.
All right, I'll go. Because then I know that Dodd's going to say what he wants to say and be long-winded and then never want to talk about it again. So I'll be very simple, because I was very elaborate online with it. This is a movie that is 2 hours and I think 10 minutes long in theaters that should have been 4.5 hours based on the plot. So it either should have been two movies, but they were obsessed with having it be a trilogy, or they should have found a way to tell the story with actually having a proper pace, because the movie starts, never gives itself any time to breathe, is MacGuffin after MacGuffin after MacGuffin, bad writing after bad writing after bad writing. Also, bad take after bad take after bad take, which was surprising, because even with the original, or not the original, the prequel trilogy, as wooden as the dialogue was, it still sounded like it had been well rehearsed. There's a lot of scenes in this movie where it sounds like they're saying the lines for the first time and then never ever come back to it. Plot holes abound. What else? There's no point to anything. It seems like it was written by a six-year-old. And I hated every aspect of it with every fiber of my being, except for Palpatine, because Ian McDiarmid is a fantastic actor, and I'll give him, he did a fantastic job with what he could. Also, Wedge shows up for like 3 seconds on the screen. I'm okay with that. And that's it for me.
Done.
Okay, so where does one start with this betrayal?
If you the end?
At the end. Okay, so I just read this today. Rumor, or maybe it's confirmed now, I'm not sure. Kathleen Kennedy, the president of Lucasfilm, wanted to bring Palpatine back. And Palpatine has been the bad guy throughout all these movies. Okay, that's cool, but you've just undone what the heroes have done in 6 movies. Okay, first off, when the Emperor comes back in this movie, it just comes out of friggin' nowhere. And this seems like way overcorrection for The Last Jedi. I neither love that movie or hate it. I'm indifferent to it. It was okay. I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it either. The Rise of Skywalker, it never gives anything a chance to breathe. It's nothing but fan service moment after fan service moment. And while some of that is cool, it doesn't connect with you the way that it should. And I was watching Mark Bernardi from Fat Man Beyond, Kevin Smith's podcast, and he made a really, really, really good point. Do you remember in Avengers Endgame when Cap has the shield and Mjolnir and his shield's cracked and he has the shit kicked out of him?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and you hear Sam the Falcon say, "On your left." And he's like, "Oh, my friends are coming." Right? And you have that emotional moment and that really connects with you.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, that character was reinvigorated, alive again. And you as the audience were right there with them. In this movie, Lando and Chewie take off with the Falcon. They're like, "Don't worry, we'll bring help." And just when the fleets of Poe Dameron and all his buddies are having the crap kicked out of them, you hear a voice over the radio say, "We're here. Who's here? All of us." And Poe Dameron is really excited. Poe Dameron has met Lando for a grand total of 5 friggin' minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't connect to it. You don't care. We're excited as the audience because we know who Lando and Chewie are. We know that they've got this audience. But Poe Dameron does not give a shit that Lando brought his buddies because he doesn't know him. That emotional payoff moment is not there. And that's the problem with this movie. This movie is supposed to have all these emotional moments. And while there are some in here, like, one of my big problems with this is this movie had a chance to be ballsy because at least with The Last Jedi, they killed Luke. That's a pretty big friggin' deal.
Yep.
And this one had the balls to kill Chewbacca and 3PO, but both those were retconned or reversed within like 20 minutes of each other. Like you see Rey Sith lightning and blow up a transport. Oh, he's dead. Oh, wait, he's on a Star Destroyer that just so happens to be in orbit. Okay, I'll let that go. And then 3PO, the line from the trailer, "I'm taking one last look at my friends." And you find out he has to have his memory wiped to read this Sith dagger, which, by the way, to hell with that. And, like, his memory's wiped, and he gives them the location to Exegol. Cool. Oh, there's a backup of 3PO in R2's memory? How convenient.
And it just happened to be before the mission.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thankfully, there's an iCloud backup of that. And the most annoying thing to me about Rise of Skywalker, and I've said this many times before, I said this on national radio a couple of weeks ago, is when you look at Rise of Skywalker, it's like somebody handed Kathleen Kennedy, J.J. Abrams, and the writers, they looked at Star Wars canon since 1990 and forward, because all that's been wiped out now, with the exception of Clone Wars, Rebels, and some novels and some comic books, which is fine. But they took the existing EU, read through it once, didn't understand what they were reading, wrote down what they could from memory after only having it read once, wrote it down in crayon very, very fast while someone was swapping out notepad papers, handed these to the writers of Rise of Skywalker and said, okay, here's some cool ideas. Can you make it work? Yeah, sure, maybe, I guess. And what we got was very sloppy, very fan servicey, without making any sense. I mean, the Emperor coming back to life happened in a comic book series called Dark Empire in the 90s.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, which was great. We had Dark Apprentice Luke. We had a really weird storyline where the Emperor was going to be born into Leia's unborn son. Okay, creepy and weird, but cool.
And he kept cloning his body.
Yeah, and he kept cloning his body. There was a reason for him to come back. I mean, I'm sorry. When the Emperor got thrown down the shaft of the second Death Star, he was frigging atomized. You ain't coming back, Mr. Darth Plagueis the Wise. No, you are wiped out. You're Darth Sidious. You are dead. D-O friggin' A. And no, just there were some cool moments. And oh, and then this randomly throwaway lines like, you're part of a dyad now. Excuse me? You're a part of a what? Oh, we're just going to gloss over that. Don't worry. Lightsaber fight. Oh, and now teleportation is a thing in Star Wars, because randomly you can now pass objects back and forth through the Force.
Or you can Force fight in two different locations.
Yeah, because you know what I would
because do? Because reasons.
You know what I would have done if I was Rey? Always have a thermal detonator on me. So when Kylo Ren decides to contact me, click, boom, movie's over, roll credits. But no, there was just this actually happened. So when I'm in Rise of Skywalker, I'm sitting with my wife Blair, I'm in my wheelchair, and the second credits rolled, I turned on my wheelchair and I drove out of there pissed off. And I ran over my wife's purse. Thankfully, our phones weren't crushed, because I was that mad. And Blair's like, did you not like the movie? I'm like, no. And Blair's like, I hated it too. And people were coming out of the theater and they were talking. And I could tell I was a minority, although reading the responses online, I know I'm definitely not alone in this. I was talking with my friends from Nerd to the Third Power, which you can check out their episode on our website right now. And Billy, Dr. Gonzo, puts it very well. The expanded universe should expand the universe, tell more stories, give you a little bit more background if you want it. It should not have to explain it. When comics and books and everything have to explain plot points for you to understand the movie you're watching, you have failed as a property in that regard. It's cool to read the Mass Effect novels that explain who the elusive man was, but you don't need to read those to know who the elusive man is in Mass Effect 2 and 3. You just know he's the bad guy, he fronts a human supremacist organization, and he sucks. But you know this is where he came from. Okay, cool. It expanded it, but it didn't explain it to you. And that's the problem with these things, is there were so many things that were left unexplained that there's so many, as Alex put it, plot holes that if you're a huge fan of the franchise and you genuinely care about it, it really gets under your skin when you start thinking about it. And don't even get me started how they sideline certain characters. I mean, I love Finn. I think John Boyega is a wonderful actor, but he is woefully inconsistent between all these movies. I mean, they had an awesome romance set up for him with Rose from The Last Jedi. She gets a minute and 30 seconds of screen time in this movie. And they try to explain this away in a Hollywood Reporter article like yesterday, as of this recording. And I'm thinking, wow, bullshit. Sorry, Steve, you're going to have to edit a lot in this episode. But it's just, it doesn't fly with me. There's just so many problems with this. And I understand there are problems with Carrie Fisher passing away, and that's okay. You have to work with what you got, because they didn't want to dishonor her memory by doing the weird photo digital actor thing. And that's fine. I'm fine with that, but don't piss in my ear and tell me it's raining. This script had problems from day one. The problem with the new trilogy is canon was thrown out the window, and it doesn't make any sense. There was no creative and directorial vision from movies 1 to 3 that said, okay, here's what's going to happen in movie 1. Here's what's going to happen at the end. We'll make it work. There was no unified vision. Say what you will about the prequel movies, but that was a democracy that turned fear into fascism, and you saw how the Galactic Republic fell. You knew what the plot line was. If I asked either of you, explain to me the new trilogy in an elevator pitch, you have 30 seconds or less to tell me what the new movies are about. You probably can't, but you can tell me what the prequels are about and what the original trilogy is about. The new movies, you cannot.
I can tell you what it's about. Here we go.
Yes.
No, here we go. J.J. Abrams only makes remakes, so the first movie is a remake.
Of A New Hope, yeah.
A remake of A New Hope disguises a new movie, so it's a lie. Last Jedi is a side story masquerading as a main story with a stupid, stupid, stupid way to kill off the main character of the entire series.
Yeah.
And the newest one is a convoluted mess. It's 3 movies mixed into one.
Yeah. In other words, they should have gotten rid of the Last Jedi.
You want the actual plot? Okay.
Yeah, good luck.
There wasn't one?
Everything is cyclical, and this is just a remake of the original trilogy, almost plot for plot point, with a lot of special effects that didn't need to be there. Done.
Okay.
But again, that doesn't explain everything, because you can't. You cannot explain everything.
I mean, that being said, I will say positive things about the new trilogy now. I like some of the characters. I like Rey. I like Finn. I love Poe. Hell, I wanted to see the Poe and Finn romance. That's a bromance. When they meet each other in The Force Awakens after they think each other's dead, they give each other a look of, man, I'm so glad you're back. And it's a little more than friendship, and I'm okay with that. They pushed for that, according to Oscar Isaacs. But Disney, they're not ready to take that risk. Give it 20 years, probably. And I like Kylo Ren. He looks cool. He sounds cool. Adam Driver is a great actor. With what he's given, he's neat. I like him. He's really neat. The First Order design aesthetic, I love the look of Imperial technology. Always have. Although, if you paint the bottom of the First Order Stormtrooper helmet, it looks like Donald Duck. But that aside, there are some really creative locations in these movies. That's neat. We see different biomes. That's cool. Seeing the original characters back, that's kind of neat. Making some ballsy decisions like killing Han Solo, okay, I'm totally fine with this. But half-cooked ideas and cool concepts are not enough to carry a saga 42 years in the making. If this is the capstone to the Skywalker saga, it ends with kind of a wet fart.
Wasn't there some sort of big hubbub over the last 2 movies building up Kylo Ren's basically like enforcer group? I forget the name of them now.
The Knights of Ren. Oh boy,
they're in, what is it, 30 seconds of footage, and they get killed in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, and if you want to know more about them, you have to read the comic books. And
here's the thing. Even if I read the comic books, if I was a fan of those coming in the comic books, I'd be like, they're so cool. Wait, they died in like 30 seconds? There was nothing to them? So what was the point of buying the comic books?
Yeah, it's lame. Like, I actually went on Wikipedia last night to read up on the Knights of Ren. And you know who they are? They're not Sith. They're just dark side warriors who've been gathered by Kylo, who now leads them.
The largest stupid thing that they've done with casting is cast famous people and then have them die or disappear within like 2 seconds. What's her name from Game of Thrones?
Or have them hide underneath a stormtrooper costume.
Whatever her name was, leader of all the...
Oh, Gwendolyn Christie. Yeah. She was the Boba Fett of this franchise.
They pumped her up in all the pre-release stuff to be a hugely significant part to the story. And she's in a total of like less than 5 minutes of the entire trilogy.
Yeah,
and it's killed almost immediately with no consequence. Like, if I was her, I would be fucking pissed. I would be mad that I was part of the sham.
Yeah, like I actually read about Phasma, and she does appear in Star Wars Resistance, which is the animated series, which is cool. But yeah, she's essentially the Boba Fett in this franchise. She looks neat. She has a cool backstory. She's vastly important to the First Order, but she gets killed off by Finn in The Last Jedi. And I was hoping she would somehow still be alive. But no, she was Boba Fetted, and that bothers me. Because she's a wonderful actress, and that character deserves so much better.
The whole trilogy screams corporate...
meddling.
Meddling mismanagement, and hey, look who we have under contract for something. Let's just keep hiring people, and we'll create characters for them and see where it goes.
It's like,
this trilogy should have had all three Bibles for the stories written before anything was shot for the first part.
Mm-hmm. And you can clearly tell they didn't.
Because that's exactly what they've had for the Avengers. They've had every phase, main story plots, not every bit of dialogue, but all the main story plots for every movie is written for each phase before the next phase starts.
And that's because Kevin Feige is running it.
I mean,
I'm not knocking Kathleen Kennedy because, I mean, we got the Mandalorian, but...
She's connected in that with name only because she's executive producer on everything there.
Is it Dave Filoni?
Filoni, yeah. Filoni. There's he's the guy Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau.
He's the guy that did the Clone Wars.
Well, and Favreau did Iron Man. He launched the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
But I'm saying as far as if you wanted somebody to run your continuity for all your movies, you should get the Filoni guy because he's somebody who's done multiple episodes of animation. If you watch the end of the Mandalorian episodes, he's the guy doing all the art for those still shots. Those are all the storyboards. They're not like usually storyboards are wireframe. No, he's doing entire paintings, and that's so those shots are not based on like, hey, we shot this on film and then I'm drawing it after. Those are what they're basing the film on. So it's like that guy's super detailed. Why don't you use him?
So,
but Kathleen Kennedy, like I feel like she's. And if you look at her history, she started like anybody else as an executive assistant. But the problem was she got a lot of producing power without ever having actually produced. You know what I mean? Like she's been given a lot of executive power without actually getting her hands dirty making the films. She would have done that had she not gone and shot up from being an assistant to being a producer almost right away.
I mean, maybe if she'd cut her teeth, maybe doing like another
property
animated show or something, that would have been fine.
Like she started as she was an executive assistant to Spielberg, and then like on in the early 80s, like when Amblin just started. And then worked her way up in different companies from that. So it's like, great, but I've never heard of her actually being a hands-on producer. She's somebody who sits there, takes notes, and then goes, here's what I want you to do, even though she doesn't have an eye for cinema, if that makes any sense. She is more of a business person than anything. But then which would be fine if she didn't try to tout herself as being like, she clearly takes all the successes and like praises herself, but then tries to deflect all the blame when something's wrong.
There was one thing that she said. This was a recent quote from this past summer. She said in an interview, and I quote something along these lines. He says, "The problem is making Star Wars movies is we have nothing to base them on. We have no books, no comic books, or any established television. You are so beyond full of shit."
Yeah, and she didn't make me mad. She didn't correct herself either after they said, "What about the expanded universe?" She could have said, "We made a conscious decision at the company to move forward without these." No, she just doubled down.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to have the new Disney canon with be with Rebels, Clone Wars, and the novels and comic books now that Marvel is a part of Disney as well. That's fine, but I don't know, because the thing is with the expanded universe, yes, there are problems with it. However, it was more or less, I'd say probably about 75%, maybe if I want to be conservative, about 70, a consistent universe, starting with Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire trilogy, which started in 1991, all the way to the end of the Yuuzhan Vong War and beyond, when the Disney deal happened, and then that got turned into Star Wars Legends. And there was some great writers in there. There was Michael A. Stackpole with the X-Wing series. There was Timothy Zahn with the Thrawn trilogy. Now Thrawn has been brought back as a character, thank God for that, and other characters, but also Kevin J. Anderson's New Jedi Academy trilogy from the 90s. So it's not like Star Wars canon wasn't good and it wasn't filmable. It's just, for whatever reason, parts of it got discarded along the way, and I guess Disney wanted to own it all and start with their own things. The problem is, there was some cool things in there you probably could have salvaged.
Oh yeah, totally. And see, my whole take on the movie was, is I didn't like The Last Jedi. And I know that I'm backpedaling one film. The Force Awakens, yeah, I felt it was okay.
I liked it.
It was, I mean, it was a remake, so you kind of, you know, get what you get. But
J.J. Abrams really needs to, I don't know, get a stroke or something. Because,
well, he,
I feel like all he does are remakes. Every single thing he's done is a remake.
Look at the Star Trek movies he did.
Like,
I liked the first one. I liked the first one, but Into Darkness was horrible.
Even the first one was like, oh,
it was a remake.
It's
of sorts.
Yeah, exactly. And the second one,
but they're tying that into Picard now. So that's the part with the Romulan star going Nova.
He's all style and no substance in anything he does. He's made and I haven't seen Super 8, but then I hear, oh, it's just basically he took all his favorite 80s movies and remade mm-hmm. them all into one movie. Okay, so again, remake. He has made a total of one movie that was an original idea, and that even then it was part of a franchise. And that's when his first directorial movie, which was Mission Impossible 3. And ever since then, everything he's done has been a remake. And he'll try to lie and dress it up, and everything he's so boring. His stuff is visually boring because it's just lens flare after lens flare.
Well, and then they got to make stuff shiny just for the sake of it.
Like,
but
he's worse than Michael Bay. At least Michael Bay blows shit up and he knows he's a bad director but a great action director. The problem is J.J. Abrams isn't even a good action director.
Yeah. But yeah, my whole gripe with The Last Jedi was it felt like it was like the Star Trek Insurrection of Star Wars. Like, it felt like it should have been like an in-between like storyline or an episodic episode of a show of whatever it is instead of an actual film. And the rise, and I also hated how they killed off Luke, but and almost made him like this vindictive evil, you know, master. And granted, I liked his force projection, but at the same time, like, I didn't care for how they get rid of him.
The problem is, why?
And they've been having fun killing off the old cast.
Why can't any Jedi's just actually die? Like it's always the disappearing force ghost shit. It's like, okay, but every time that we have this happen to a main character, it's a stupid way that they did it.
Well, that reminds me.
In the second film, is that the Clone Wars?
Yes.
Or they killed off a ton of Jedi and they didn't just miraculously
exactly, which was cool.
Becoming a Force ghost is a skill and it's something you have to learn.
And remember, that technique wasn't perfected like
until Qui-Gon.
Qui-Gon did it. He taught Yoda. But nobody else had done it. Whatever. But yeah, sure. But like, I feel like this new trilogy. Okay, why is everybody Jar Jar? Why is everybody silly? Why is everything silly in these movies now?
because they have to, like, and like, plus they have to have their massive list of MacGuffins and the one character that's like female that can save them all.
Like, it, Jar Jar was terrible and it was silly, but everybody else was serious in those the prequel trilogy. And I think if anything, Lucas will end up laughing because his prequels, which were derided initially, are going to be viewed as so much better than this trilogy.
Well, it's funny because people are already ranking his films higher than this trilogy. And what's funny is some people regard The Last Jedi really high, even though it was garbage.
And yeah, no, it was like really, and Solo was garbage too. It was entertaining.
Solo was garbage.
Actually, you know what?
Aspects of it were decent.
Solo was okay, but it wasn't what a Star Wars movie should have been.
Exactly. No. Rogue One is the only one that actually works. And if you look, Rogue One has more in common with, like, obviously with the originals. Who directed that one?
That was I can't remember. I know a video on this too.
I know Ron Howard came in for
Ron Howard. That was Solo. Jurassic World.
Yeah, he came in. Maybe Ron Howard came in to fix Solo. Like, can you imagine how bad Solo would have been if they hadn't had Ron Howard to try to fix things?
Actually, no. Switch that, because what happened with Solo is the two guys who did it were the guys who worked on the Lego movie. And they had the actors do multiple takes, like a crap ton. They went way over budget. Kathleen Kennedy, or whoever was in charge of the budget, didn't like that. So the actors were doing a great time, but they didn't like how the script kept changing, because they were having more, the movie was more funny and things were changing on the set on the day. So they brought in Ron Howard with 3 weeks left of shooting. So Solo would have been a completely different movie had it been finished as intended, but the people who were in charge of the script and the budget didn't like that.
Okay. So unfortunate. So Rogue One was Gareth Edwards. He's the guy that directed the new Godzilla movie that was really good.
Yes. Yes. And there were even problems with that, because there were many script rewrites and stuff we saw that was shot specifically for the trailer never made it into the movie. I watched these one. I think it was on Joe Blow Videos on YouTube. It's called What the Hell Happened to This Movie or whatever. And they do wonderfully deep dives on Solo and Rogue One. And you see the production problems that each had. Though Rogue One of the Star Wars movies is probably the best under the new Lucas deal, because it's the one that feels the most like a war movie. It's so different. It doesn't need Jedi BS to hold it up.
And the comedy that's in it is silly.
Works.
It's the kind of stuff you'd find. Like, the best way to describe it was the Dirty Dozen or the Great Escape mixed together as a Star Wars
with blasters.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it works. And for, like, how is it that Darth Vader in the last 2 minutes of that movie can be more menacing, terrifying, and amazing looking than any bit of lightsaber battles we've seen over the course of 7 hours of the new trilogy?
Yeah, there is only one scene in Rise of Skywalker where Kylo Ren looks really badass, where he's marching through this random crowd of people driving his lightsaber to them. And for some reason, I don't even know who he's killing. He's just there because. Darth Vader,
when he's stealing the one of only two MacGuffin items.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the only time he looks badass. And you're right. Like, and they filmed, like, they got special money to film that Darth Vader scene for Rogue One. And it's one of the best things to come out of the Lucas deal in the last 5 years.
Not to mention, it's the only one that is, like, actually good for the lore. You know, I usually am a guy who hates, you know, bridging the gap between things. I am the person that didn't like that Enterprise took place, you know, before something. I like when movies and move the canon forward, but this was the story that people had been wanting to hear for a long time, because it was always mentioned, like, too many people lost their lives to get this, you know, get these plans.
Yeah, and then blah,
you,
blah, blah,
and, blah, and then you find and you see it and you're like, holy shit, it was a really good movie. I hope that all these other Star Wars movies are going to be like this. Wrong. Like, yeah, I hope they get this director back, but like you know, it's because I don't think we want to dive too much into this, because we're going to want to talk about The Mandalorian on another episode.
Yeah, but
But I'll say this, the cinematic universe has to take a 2 to 3 year break. They can't they can't have another one next
year. I think it needs to take longer. I think they need to just double down on
they're scheduled for 2022, I believe, right now. They were scheduled for
2022. And that's supposed to
They're supposed to be doing Knights of the Old Republic, which will take aspects of maybe the BioWare established universe, but luckily not, because that's all Legends now, but they'll take the idea.
Knights of the Old Republic 1 and 2 were not considered canon anymore, but the Old Republic MMO is, because it's still
something active. Like that. Yeah, that's it. That's what I meant. But yeah, they're going to take the idea 4,000 years or so before the Battle of Yavin.
Which I'm okay with, because that's so far back that it's basically a different civilization and culture. So we're not going to worry about, oh, we're going to creep into fucking up the rest of the lore in the series.
Yeah, we're not going to see Death Stars. We're not going to see Imperials.
Palpatine.
It's also going to mean maybe, hey, we're going to see, like, the one thing that the prequel movies did do right was showing a clean universe. That's like, hey, you know,
everything's new.
Everything was, yeah, and this will be like when everything was really new. Like, hey, there's not going to be a whole lot of like ancient technology. You're going to have ancient ruins of like, you know, pre-space age stuff, but you're not going to have like, you know, relic old ships being, you know, pieced together. It's going to be like when the population was a lot more and there were a lot more people that were force users.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so much from the old Republic era that's exciting. I mean, I used to read the Dark Horse comics when I was a kid. They were called Tales of the Jedi. And there's, like, blind force users. There's Nomi Sunrider, Exar Kun, the great Sith Lord, the Sith Wars. There is so much storytelling potential here. Yes, it's more Jedi crap, but I'm okay with that as long as it's cool. And it'll be neat. I mean, at least we're getting on television. We're going to get the Obi-Wan series, I think, in, like, 2 years. Thank God for that. I still think we'll get a Mandalorian movie considering the success of the TV show. My
guess will be we'll talk about that during the Mandalorian. We're probably going to get 3 to 4 seasons of the Mandalorian, and then they'll do a movie.
You know what I want? And I've talked with Alex about this in our just general nerd talks. I want something along the lines of Rogue One, but I want it as a TV series. It's set during the Clone Wars, following a Republic commando unit. So bring back Temuera Morrison and have it be about a squad of clone commandos, and have it be like Band of Brothers. Make it a war story. Have them go behind the lines of Geonosis or something, or have something like that.
And we discussed it. This would not be a series that has multiple seasons. It would be, hey, we're going to do a limited, like, it's going to be like a 4 or 5 week event. Each week's going to be an hour and 10 minute episode, and you're going to show chapters like, you know, here's how we banded together, here's how we fought alongside the Jedi. And then at the, like, if it's a four part, at the end of the second part, you're like, execute order, and then you the preview for the next part. Maybe you have to wait 6 months to watch the last two parts, but like the preview is just them maybe fighting the programming, or maybe somebody in the band or one or two people, it doesn't work. Maybe their chip is defective.
Yeah.
And they're looking around, like, they get headaches and see weird shit happening. And they're like, why is everybody turning on the Jedi? And they're maybe the last one, or maybe they're the only squadron that doesn't,
who's still loyal.
They don't turn. And it's them having to fight their own brothers to protect the Jedi, and then trying to seek out whomever, you know, tainted them in their mind.
Well, it's funny. I just watched the Clone Wars one where Fives figured
goes
out.
Nuts. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he figured out that his buddy went nuts, and then he had his chip removed, and found out that there was this whole conspiracy on Geonosis and with the clones. And yeah, so it was a little crazy, but
like they could do so much with limited series on the network, because we've know that, you know, there's more risks they can take by not having it go to theaters,
and they'll put the budget behind it, because look at the success the Mandalorian's had. The second most on demand show right now. The only thing that's beating it right now is The Witcher.
Yeah, so let's, I'd say let's cut it off there as far as Star Wars talk, right? Because we want to talk about the Mandalorian separately.
Well, yes. True, but I did, out of this, the Rise of Skywalker, I did like the Emperor coming back. I wish they would have explained how he was back besides plugged into a machine with chemicals being pumped in. The DA thing was weird. The teleportation of the lightsaber was weird.
All they would have had to do, like in my mind, and it would have been hokey, but it would have been an explanation, is, you know, you really want to mess with people? Have him reveal, like, hey, you think you had one up over me? And find out that he's the first Sith Lord to figure out how to do Force Ghost. And he basically is inhabiting a clone of his own body. Bam, done.
I think they should have brought back Snoke and made him still be the big bad, because they built Snoke up over two movies, and just to have Palpatine come back is like, oh yeah, Snoke was totally my idea.
Well,
and
I was going to say they should have put Palpatine at the end of the Last Jedi and had some kind of a sinister after credits thing where you see, you know, the tanks of Snoke's and, you know, have some kind of a line like, you know, this was only the beginning and, you know, now I will execute the final order, and then it just cuts to black or something, and then,
or he shouldn't have been able to walk around. It should have been that, you know, maybe he wasn't completely vaporized, used all of his energy, force energy, to just, like, you know, protect himself, but he's a husk, and he should have been, like, when they went into that weird rock pyramid whatever it was on Exegol, it should have been that, oh, he's legit, like when they see it talking to him, he's not actually there. Like that's a force projection. And if you look behind, like, he's literally on life support, hooked up to a bunch of machines, and that he's doing everything through his mind. That would have been cool. And then, like, how they beat him would have been not how they beat him. It could have been like, oh, what do we have to do? It's like, and they're like trying to like destroy the machine. It doesn't work. And it's like, it takes all of them to basically blast the machine away.
I did like how he was able to restore himself using them. But I thought it was dumb at the same time that he basically was done in by the same thing that killed him the last two times.
Yeah, force lightning. Good idea, stupid.
Like, yeah. It mutated him in Revenge of the Sith with Mace Windu's lightsaber.
I was fully, because, you know, Samuel Jackson has said for years, he goes, I didn't officially die. So, and it's true. Every single Jedi has either died on screen or turned into a force ghost. So,
so he should be back in The Mandalorian.
I could have ignored every single stupid thing. Is if when they were all being, you know, electrocuted by him and all this crazy shit happened, he's like, surprise, motherfucker, and he shows up and throws his lightsaber at him, and that's how he kills him. Oh, I've been waiting 35 fucking years to do that, motherfucker. Let's go, 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 motherfucker. And they all get in a plane and fly away. But I would have been so happy if Samuel Jackson is the guy who beat them. And he would have been so happy, I'll tell you that.
I would have paid double admission price to see this cut of the movie.
I mean, just to watch all, like, the super fans' faces freeze and then, like, break. It's malfunction.
You thought Luke was the chosen one? It was me.
Yeah, no, but just, or even not so much more. Just one. I mean, they're rated PG. They can get away with one swear. Just surprise, motherfucker! And you see a lightsaber fly through the air like a javelin, and it's a purple one, hits him. You don't even see Samuel Jackson. You hear his voice, and you see the lightsaber, and that's how they win. And you're like, holy shit, Mace Windu did survive 35 years.
Or even if he didn't, just have his force ghost do it, because Yoda could send lightning from the sky.
Yeah, no, okay, even better. Yeah, he goes, surprise, and his force ghost goes behind him and puts him in a full Nelson, so he can't use the lightning. Get him now, kid!
Where his hand does that whole thing, like the reverse flash when he's about to, like, choke out somebody in their chest, like he does it to Palpatine.
Turns to the camera and says, "What?
Use your life support now.
What, you didn't think black guys could be force ghosts either?" And then it ends with, like, a Warner Brothers closing. That's all, folks. Yeah, that's that I would have been in the theater laughing hysterically, and then I would have been like, oh god, JJ Abrams is brilliant. He just trolled us with a 2-hour movie.
And then you have Jar Jar pull down his cloak and say, "Miss, I think this movie is over."
Oh, great. Yeah, it's true. No, it's Samuel Jackson. Goes, Jar Jar, hold his legs. And then Jar Jar goes and holds his legs down, and they start kicking him and stomping him.
RKO out of nowhere from Jar Jar.
No, it's just, he goes, surprise, motherfucker, puts him in a full Nelson. Jar Jar, get his legs. I said get his legs. And he grabs
Reagan over here. Palpatine transfers his essence into Jar Jar.
And he becomes Darth Jar Jar. It's just Rey standing there stomping on him. Get him good. She has no idea who these two guys are, but they're helping her out. I knew he was useful for something, Jar Jar. Hold his legs. Oh, man. Oh, okay.
And yeah. And with that, I think we've wrapped up the Rise of Skywalker.
I think we have our episode title, Hold His Legs, Jar Jar. Surprise. Surprise. Hold his legs, Jar Jar.
So Jar Jar Abrams.
That works.
Hold his legs, Jar Jar Abrams. All right. So how can the fine people reach you on the interwebs?
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Birdman Dot. I'm almost always around, or you can send me a friend request on Facebook / Birdman Dodd. So yeah, or on Instagram, Birdman Dodd as well.
And for me, it's pretty much the same. You can find me on Facebook. If you wanted to really contact me, you can go through Mike as well. But Twitter is DeathFaceTwig. Or just if you want to contact either of us, feedback at thisweekingeek.net.
And if you want to get a hold of me, you can get a hold of me on the Twitters at SCP21 or at Altered Geek. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.
Clear the way, please.
Hold yourself. A lightsaber. Yeah. Interesting.
If there's one Jedi left, it's not you. Affirmative.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA Home Loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.